Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Just letting you know about that YouTube channel that I started. NLcast.com/YouTube will get you there. And like and subscribe. June 11th, 2022 is the NarthexCon 2020 located at Benton Park Cafe in St. Louis, Missouri. Registration is open. Go to NLcast.com/NarthX for more information.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Brooks, Henry, and Sam Euler, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
This is Jerry the Cucumber, and you're listening to That Story Show. Bob!
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah! You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. This is episode 402, brought to you the week of February 3rd, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kendison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I've got friends in low places.
Oh, where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues.
Have I done
away.
That one before? Because I feel like I've said that
in
real life. Okay.
I don't know.
We're not really allowed to talk about what flows and what chases on this show, are we?
I don't know.
We're 10 and up. What he meant to say is where the grape juice flows and the orange soda chase.
Okay, right, so in your town, liquor and stuff is probably behind a glass case.
Well, up until a couple years ago, we lived in what was called a dry county.
Oh, wow.
Meaning liquor was not even able to be sold within our county. In fact, I don't think there are what you would call liquor stores in our county. However, there are in the surrounding counties. So, yeah.
Well, here in St. Louis, it's out on the same rack like the bread is. It's just... Three lanes of it, man. Anything you want. Hard, soft, you know, brown, clear. I don't even
know. Talking about bread still?
Yeah, still talking about bread. No, we're talking about liquor, baby. They love it. And then when you go to check out at the cash register, instead of a tub of like, you know, little snack candies or gum or whatever. No, there's little bottles. It's just little bottles like you'd get on the airplane. And people buy two or three of them on their way out. So, yeah.
You know, back until a few years ago, even still, you couldn't even buy beer on Sunday. So,
yeah, I remember
like
that.
That whole aisle was like dark.
Yep. They used to put caution tape across
lost our
it.
Way.
Really? Yeah. In some towns. But, come to St. Louis, everybody. The city is just rife with drunk driving. So come on.
Because you can get the little bottles at the checkout.
Just get a couple of them for a dollar.
Right next to the bubble gum, right?
Right, right. So, yeah, it's good for kids to see. Anyway, we always start with an opening story. And today's show is very special because it's a theme show. And it is themed after church. Is a church theme episode. So we're really excited about that, and we hope you are too. We've got stories full of church goodness. So I'm going to turn that off. And
we're going to take up an offering and have an altar call at the end.
Yeah, sure.
Nice.
Sure. We'll have people get on planes to come down to the altar. So my altar is the only one that matters there. All right, this one's from Mr. Actor Kid. It's called Bible Bird. Hi, I'm Mr. Actor Kid, and I've been volunteering to work with the K through five fifth grade or K through five grade Sunday school class at my church. Well, first of all, thank you for doing that, because John's been a kids pastor. I've been a kids pastor, and volunteering is where it's at, man. It's what we need. One such week, though, I was preparing to help teach a Sunday school class, and there were two rooms connected by a door in between, and there was a K-5 area and the toddler area. As we were setting up the lesson, my sister wandered into the baby room, and when she spotted a particular winged creature sitting atop the television screen, it was not a bat, nor was it John in bat form. It was a good-looking, albeit confused, bird. So, yeah, we do bats here. We don't do bird stories. Anyway, my sister pointed it out, leading us to wonder what to do next. We stood in the room and opened the door wider. Oh, because birds love doors. They know exactly what to do when you open the door. The church bird did not stay on the television screen for long, as he wanted to get a different angle on that classroom. The Holy Spirit bird landed on the wall onto a Bible timeline. And then he walked along the timeline as if the Christian bird was reading the Bible timeline. Apparently, he wanted to attend the lesson and learn about the Lord to tell his other bird friends. So,
Where was King David in all of this? I don't know.
Yeah. Just walking along the Bible timeline there. Our mom turned off all the lights, leaving the only light bleeding in being outside the door. The Godbird flew close to the door, but did a slight turn, landing on the Christian flag up on the wall. Man, this classroom is stereotypical as all get out, isn't it? It's got everything.
Yeah. Suspense, drama.
Christian flags.
Christian flags.
Bible timelines, everything, man.
Bird was taking a tour of the whole church.
Then the disciple bird took flight into another classroom. After more unsuccessful provoking and more lights being turned off, the religious bird flew out of the door into the wilderness. We don't know where the bird went, but my theory is the Bible bird took flight straight to heaven. He flew up and reported to God that John Steinklauber was being doing a good job as an angel down here on earth. Thanks for reading. Hope it makes it on the show. And we'll talk to you later, Mr. Actor Kid. So
that bird came in confused and left religious. I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I think birds are I think all birds go to heaven. So except for seagulls. Yeah.
What about roosters who crow at 3 o'clock in the morning?
They're praising God. That's what it's my understanding.
That is a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I think I did have a bird go to heaven yesterday. When I got home from work, Amy said one of our chickens is missing.
Oh no!
She said she heard some squawking and went out there and didn't see anything. And then when she closed the chickens up, because it was after dark by the time I got home, we were minus a chicken. So
no way!
One of our chickens went to heaven.
Oh, goodness. Something got a hold of it.
Something did.
Anyway, hey, it's time for us to do a weekly rewind. I thought I shared this before, but apparently I haven't. It's kind of gross. it's called Spider Fight. But I went to the bathroom the other day, and down in the toilet was a spider, and it was trying to get out of the toilet. And I decided that I felt rather godlike. Not our God, you know, not a good God.
You felt like one of those Greek mythological little G-O-Ds.
Yeah, just right? The ones that like to mess up people's lives with their powers. And so I'll just kind of keep it short and sweet. But I had to go to the bathroom, and I was standing up. And we all are familiar with the way men go to the bathroom. So
I'm not.
I had a fight with the spider.
Who won?
I won.
Okay. Good. Okay.
He
afraid you're going to say he
He hung in there, man. He was running all over the place, and I was chasing him down. But finally, he was overwhelmed. And as soon as he hit the main water, I flushed it.
And there you go.
He was gone. So I know there are a lot of spider lovers out there, you know, that just love spiders and they just think they're the greatest things. I am not one of those people. Spiders, I've never caught a spider doing anything helpful around the house, you know. If I mean,
they eat bugs.
That's what they say. That's what people say. I've never turned on the light and a spider's been munching on a bug that I didn't like, you know. I turn on a light. And matter of fact, last night, my wife tells me, I slept through it apparently, that my daughter screamed bloody murder. My wife thought my daughter had been attacked. The truth was my daughter had woken up and a spider had crawled across her sheets and she threw the blanket over the spider and jumped up in a chair and started screaming like crazy. And my wife came in and tried to find the spider, but it was long gone.
Too late.
And there's Jenna standing in the chair like a spider can't climb up a chair, you know, if he really wanted to get to her. So.
Does the screaming help? Does it scare? I know it scares away something. It would scare me away.
She's like her dad. You know, I scream really loud when somebody scares me. It's usually part of a song, though. Or it sounds like it is a part of a song. Like, you know, something like that. So, but I don't know. She thought it helped. So my wife said it was a bit of an overreaction. And that is Jenna pretty much to a T, is a bit of an overreaction. So
I wouldn't know because I wouldn't want to say anything that would get me in trouble.
Well, you don't have girls either. You don't know.
Exactly. So I have a wife and she's a girl.
Yeah.
And, but she's like, you know what? She does get worked up over some like critters. Cause there was something the other day. It probably was a spider, some kind of bug in the house. And she shrieked like that. And I was like, what in the world's going on? And, she's like, a spider or something or whatever, ran across the floor. So, you know what? She does do that.
And it's always our job to take care of it. And we go get our weapons, you know, a paper towel.
Yeah.
And
or a shoe.
Squish it, you know.
She hates roaches more than anything. And unfortunately, we get those occasionally.
But we're just as scared of them as they are. I don't understand. Because if I look in the paper towel and the spider's not there, I'm like, oh!
Where did it go?
Oh, gosh.
On me. It's crawling down your back and you can't see it.
Yeah, yeah. On my neck or up my back of my hair, you know, just not good. Anyway, what's going on in your world? I had a spider fight and I won, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, interestingly enough, my story takes place in the bathroom too.
All right.
Completely different. So here at the school that I work with, our middle school boys, for some reason, think that paper towels are just, I don't know, they're just amusing to them. So they would like rip them out by the handfuls and throw them all over the place. And the bathroom just was terrible.
Oh my gosh.
And it drove the people in charge crazy enough that they decided to put in these new hand dryers.
Okay.
And these hand dryers are like small jet engines. Yeah. You know, those kind of just shoot out this crazy concentrated, not the Dyson ones, the air blades. Those are cool. But this is like a jet engine down at the bottom. It just shoots this. And it's got a blue light on it. I don't know.
Does it have a sticker that says feel the power?
No, but it should.
Okay, because some of them do. And I'm always amazed. I'm like, I feel the power.
Feel the power. Well, I discovered something today, just today. And I'm kind of excited about it. You see, because I always wash my hands. This is what I do. Anytime I even walk near a bathroom, I feel like I need to wash my hands. I don't know if it's an OCD thing or what, but I wash my hands. But these hand dryers, if you hold your hands the right way, that concentrated stream of air can blast between your hands and make the perfect fart sound. It's great. It goes. It So I am looking forward to going into that bathroom when there's a bunch of middle school boys in there, and I'm just going to go ahead and wash my hands and make that sound.
All right, just for the record, I'm going to repeat exactly what John just said. I'm looking forward to going to the bathroom when there's a lot of middle school boys in there. All right.
Okay. Yes, thank you for can I edit that a little bit? Because that didn't sound like the way I wanted it to.
I was going to say, don't teach those boys that, because then the school will have spent all this money, and all the whole day they'll just be, you know, all.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And then the boys won't be able to go to the bathroom. You know, are you going to make the sound? No, I promise, teacher, I won't. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you for leading me and correcting me on that. I have replaced my mind when it comes to making that sound when there are people in that room. Because I'll be walking by. It's right near my office, so I'll walk by it all day and just hear.
Listen to that. Yeah.
It's bad enough anyway.
Kids, we'd rather you smoke in the bathroom than make fart noises. That's what John's school would say. So. Hey, patrons, I just want to thank all of our patrons. It's awesome. Brent just became a $5 patron, and I want to thank him.
Thanks, Brent.
Just a mention about patronism and being a Patreon person. I took a brief poll recently, and most people said that what they wanted out of the show was more stories. And we squeeze as many stories into the show as possible. Yeah. And so there is a limit. But our bonus content is all stories. So if you want more from your favorite podcast, the best way to do it is to become a patron. And we have several levels. One starts at $1 a month. Then we got a $3 a month, a $5 a month. Of course, we'd love for you to do whatever you can. But if you're a person that can't handle doing anything more, are like a lot of our middle schoolers have somehow talked their parents into letting them become dollar patrons, and every little bit helps. So, and if you pay annually, you save a little money, and so for less than $10 you get a year of our bonus stories and bonus content all the way around. So that's what I just want to let you know. A lot of people said we want more stories. We do have more stories. They're in the bonus content. We can't have a 2-hour show, you know. So, and bonus.
But you know what? Some of the stories that go in that bonus content is some good stuff. So let me just say.
Yeah, and it usually is between 13 to 20 minutes of extra content every single time. So, and not only will you get ongoing episodes, you'll have an archive of stuff that you haven't yet heard. All based on your old favorites. Yeah. So there we go. I'm not sure if we mentioned Wes Richards became a $1 patron. So I just wanted to mention that too, just in case.
Thanks, Wes.
Wes is a longtime listener to the show. We appreciate you, man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's jump into some stories. It's time for listener stories, people. Yahoo! All right. This one's called, this is from Victoria. Remember, we got a church theme. So be looking for the theme, kids. The Wall is what this one's called. A long time ago, when back when most headphones had cords and TV screens were thicker, it was a humble church. And this church was our predominant dwelling on Saturday mornings, where we'd study the word of our Lord in a calming establishment. But not all mornings were peaceful, specifically after us little ones hadn't slept a good 10 hours. On one of those faithful days, us kids decided to indulge in a game of hide-and-seek tag. Let me just give you a little secret. As a children's pastor, that's the only game kids play at church. The only one involves running and chasing.
Anytime they get an open room, man, that's what they do, right?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many millions of times I said over a microphone, no running and no chasing. Stay off steps and stage and no running and chasing. I don't know how many times I said that. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, soon we were galloping around, unsure of even who it was we were chasing. We were having a mighty fun, though, a lot of fun. A few minutes in, I had abandoned my spirited energy and reclined on an uninhabited chair. Suddenly, a scream reached my ears. Rushing to the scene, I found my brother, or my father, holding my little brother in his arms. He and my brother were drenched in blood. It wasn't.
Did you have to say drenched?
It wasn't the blood of Jesus either. Apparently. Oh, and thank you, chat room, for putting a daggum spider in there. That's wonderful. I'm going to cancel our live shows right now. I'm telling you what. If every time we mention something gross and they post it in the daggum chat, that's how the daggum chat gets canceled. So I don't like spiders. Apparently, my brother had been running full speed into the edge of a wall. Yum. That sounds like the corner of a wall. The wall had gotten a good quarter inch into his round head. Sounds like brain trauma. The blood fountained out.
Why?
Heads do bleed a lot, man. Have you ever had one of your kids bust his head open?
Yeah. Because our heads, our craniums are so vascular.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of blood pressure pushing that blood up the opposite way it should go. It was fountaining out until paper towels were wrapped quickly around his gaping hole. Can't. Thankfully, my brother wasn't seriously hurt. Sounds like he was. You just spent the last two sentences telling us he was. But anyway, he received a pretty good scar to remember that horrid day. But did he learn his lesson? It's the question she has. I hope you cringed and cried as you read my story. John did. Victoria.
Thank you.
Victoria. So we're done, John. We made it through.
When you're about to pass out, how your skin gets clammy and stuff?
Really?
I'm getting there.
Really? Yeah.
Man. Do you not pass out? I mean, it's been a while since I've done that, but I get this real cold sweats and then everything goes dark.
So you almost did that, huh?
I was getting to that point where I needed to sit down almost. So
I
don't know why Victoria had to be so graphic with explaining. You could have just said he ran into the wall. You didn't have to say that there was a fountain of blood flowing from his head or that, you know, there was a gaping hole.
Yeah, but what would the story be otherwise? You know, my brother flew into a wall. He bled. My father carried him. He was not seriously injured. All was well. You know, who wants to hear that? You know, let's do the John version. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Victoria, and I love church, and I love Jesus and horses, and my boyfriend too. I'm a good girl.
Thanks,
I'm
Tom.
Crazy about Elvis.
I feel a song coming on. Could you sing this?
But we were running around because we were just some goofballs. We were just goofballs, just goofballing all around the church. And I was sitting down because I ran out of goofball. I just ran out all of a sudden, but my brother didn't. And he ran into a wall. And thankfully, it wasn't very hard. He was actually running in slow motion. And he fell on his tush, but he landed on a lamb that we keep at the church.
So much better.
Yeah. And the lamb, it didn't hurt the lamb. The lamb is used to it. He runs around and catches children when they fall. And it's just
I like that church.
It's such a great thing. And my dad wasn't even there because he was out drinking with his friends on a Sunday. And he hits us a lot when we go to church. So
stop it.
It's
what's going on?
Terrible. Matter of fact, when we did get home, he had gotten in an accident, and two of his legs had almost been sawn all the way off, and he tracked blood all the way into the house. And we
I don't like the story.
Some
anymore.
Of the blood, and we made a smoothie out of it.
Oh, come on. Stop it. It's not good.
You know when you get lightheaded because you laugh too hard?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't. I was lightheaded because you're making it disgusting.
Oh, it was too perfect. So anyway, I had to mess it up. Sorry. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm okay. Deep breath. I will reset myself and push from my mind all the nastiness that just came from your fake story and Victoria's fake story.
It was
story.
Sweet, though. Everybody. There was a lamb, and it caught people.
Well, that was great up until then. Then it got dark and
you
scary.
Enjoyed it too much. I had to ruin it. So sorry.
I thought you were going to start singing something about goofballin'. Because he's a good boy. Just ran into a wall and... I can't make songs up like you do, so I'll just move to the next story. Are you ready?
I am. I'm so...
This is a good one. It's a skirt scare from Emmy Holloway.
Oh, boy.
Just hold on, because I've got some advice for everybody after this one. Just,
yeah.
Because I've read it. It's good. So Emmy starts off, one night we were at music practice and we were really belting it out, you know, just getting into it. We were practicing an upbeat song that has the line, "You've got a right to praise him. You ought to praise the Lord." Wow. I don't know that song.
I don't either, but it sounds very forceful.
It sounds like I can hear like the whole church in unison and they're just, "You got a right to praise him."
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, she continues, my pastor, I think PW is pastor's wife, right?
Right.
My pastor's wife, I'm going to say it is. My pastor's wife was on the piano, and this woman can sing.
Or pastor's widow.
Pastor's, I don't know. Or I was thinking praise and worship, but that doesn't.
No.
My praise and worship was on the piano. She can sing, though. The PW can sing. And there's this cut part in the music, and she belted out, "You've got a right to shave him." To shave him. And everyone and everything stopped, and we laughed forever about it.
That's great. That's great.
One eternity later. But this story doesn't stop from Emmy. It keeps going. Because she says, another time, we were having a youth fun night, and we were playing a little game called Dizzy Stick. James, do you know what Dizzy Stick is?
I don't. Would you tell me?
Well, Emmy's going to tell us. She says, I'll explain how to play. We had these light-up flashy sticks that you hold in front of you, and you watch them while you spin around 15 times in the front of the sanctuary. As soon as you finish your 15th spin, you had to make a mad dash around your assigned side of the church. Now, she wants to lay out a mental map for us, and she says, think of a smaller church with two rows of pews. Mm-hmm. A side aisle on each side and a center aisle.
Got it.
Just like our church growing up, right?
Yep.
I bet you she has wood paneling on the walls too. Mm-hmm. If not, then I'm imagining it because that's what it is. So then once you do your 15 spins, you then had to run up the center aisle and the first to touch the pulpit won. You know what, James? That sounds like Sunday night church in the Pentecostal church, doesn't it? Yeah.
Except
you might call it
except in a Pentecostal church, everything starts at the front, you know.
Well, that's where they started too.
Oh, okay, good. I was about to say, because if you got a dance, that you got to do it. There's an unwritten rule. It's got to be at the front so everybody can see you do it.
Everybody's got
to
see it.
I've never seen anybody go to the back of the church to dance, and it's always been a thing in my head. I'm like, wait a minute. If this was just for Jesus and you didn't care, wouldn't you just do it wherever you were? Anyway.
Yeah, nobody goes out to the parking lot.
No. No.
We won't get too theological. Let's stick to this.
Yeah.
This story.
It's a funny show.
It's Emmy says, I was up against the youth leader, so I was incredibly dizzy, but I kept the track. I got about halfway up the middle aisle and felt my skirt go up about halfway down. She was losing it. She says, thank the Lord I was wearing a long, solid slip. I looked up and my pastor was at the pulpit directly in front of me. He saw and flew his jacket up over his face.
What a good man.
I am going to save that young lady's dignity by throwing this jacket over my face.
Meanwhile, the youth leader was so dizzy, he was actually bouncing down his side of the aisle of the wall. All the boys were busy cheering him on and didn't notice.
Phew.
But I was so embarrassed, I yanked my skirt up, chunked my dizzy stick at the pulpit so I would still win, and I ran out. I totally won, but I cried in the bathroom for an hour from embarrassment.
Poor thing. Poor Emmy.
I am so sorry that happened to you, but I've got some great advice.
Okay.
And James, I don't know if I've shared this on a story before, but I'm going to quickly share this. So when I was in high school, I played football. I played flag football because our school was so small and, you know, we didn't have a big team. So we played flag football. We didn't win any game.
Oh.
But one of the things about flag football is you wear this belt and it has flags on it. And instead of being tackled, people, they grab the belt of flags and they pull it down. Well, that belt is also, you know, closely connected to your pants. So on more than one occasion, my pants had been pulled down.
Oh, no.
In the middle of a great play. I'm sure we would have won if my pants hadn't been yanked down.
Oh.
And when you are carrying the ball and everybody's watching you from the sidelines and the family and the cheerleaders and then they're there without your pants,
yeah.
There's nothing you can do. And one particular event happened. I was wearing my lucky underwear because, you know, we didn't win any games, but this particular pair of underwear, I felt like I played better when I wore them for some reason.
Okay.
And they were these blue silky like boxers. And so my pants, of course, got pulled down when I was wearing my blue silky boxers. So when you're in a situation where your pant, where you get pantsed, you know, or ankled or whatever you want to call it, the only thing you can do is take a bow and pull your britches back up.
Is that what you did? Took a bow?
That's all you can do. Take a bow and pull your pants back up and get back in the game.
So which side faces the audience when you take that bow? Do you bow towards them or away from them?
I think you bow towards them.
Okay. I was going to tell a story about, I've told it on the show before, but man, it bears repeating. We had a pastor on our staff. His name was Mike. It still is, but it was then too. And he was a very happy man to the point that he got on my nerves. He was
just, I know what you mean.
He was perpetually blessed by God, like always, to the point that I wondered if it was real. Because he'd be like, "How you doing?" He's like, "I'm too blessed to be depressed." You know, it's stuff like that. All the time. Yeah. Hallelujah to you. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. You know?
Oh, come on.
Oh, man. But he was talking to this old lady. She had her hands full of something. And as they're talking, her bottom half of her dress, I thought it was a dress, but it was a skirt, just went down to her ankles. Boom. And she's so embarrassed and has an armful of stuff. She can't do anything. He doesn't even think anything about it. He just goes down. He grabs that skirt and he works it all the way up to her waist.
Oh.
And if she wasn't embarrassed before, she was then, because she quickly made her way out of there. It was absolutely horrible. And he don't think nothing of it. He just, you know, he saw a need.
Yeah.
And he did what was necessary to fix it. But I don't know what I'd have done, but I would not have grabbed the woman's clothes and put them back on her like she was an infant, you know?
I think you could go to jail for that. Yeah, you take the stuff from her hands and allow her to do that.
Yes, there you go. I've thought about it for years. I've never come up with that solution. That is, I would just want to turn around. Is the thing, but yeah, I would say, hey, let me hold that stuff and let me let you get yourself back together. John is an angel. He is from heaven. He knows the solutions for everything.
Oh man, well, now I know what to do just in case I'm ever in that situation.
Oh, speaking of old people, we had a lady in our church that wrote a letter to the president, and at the time that was Bill Clinton, And she got an answer from him.
She got an answer?
She got an answer with a signed, autographed, you know, photo.
What?
And she was thrilled. She was absolutely thrilled. And she brought it on the bus to the old folks. They called it teenagers. And she came and she was showing people. And all of the good Republican Christians were just horrified that she was thrilled with this. And they're telling her, you should get rid of that. You should tear that up. I would tear that up if I were you. And she turned to the pastor that was closest to her. And she said, Pastor, would you tear this up? And he just shrugs his shoulders. He takes it from her and rips it right in half.
He did it.
He did. And she just melts down. And he's like, what did I do?
You asked me to tear it up.
He had to pay to get it repaired. Her picture. Her beautiful picture.
She asked him to do it.
Pastor, would you tear this up? No context, you know.
That's just why we need to have a sound for question marks, right?
Right.
Would you tear this up? Yoink, yoink. Or she probably was exclaiming, so that would have been a poing.
Right, right. I mean, she was just running it past him. You know, all these people are being so mean to me. Would you tear this up? He's like, okay. It is a picture of Bill Clinton, after all. I'll happily do that. All right, this story is called Oh No Afterglow, and it's
Afterglows. I miss those.
Yeah. It's from Michael's mom. That's what it's from. Yeah. Michael's mom. Michael sent in a story, and he sent in two. One was from Michael's mom. So here we go. Michael's stories later. From the time I was born, she says, to the time I moved from the neighborhood after marriage, I went to the same church in the inner city of East Denver. And this is one account that I can remember from my childhood experiences in this church. Growing up, church was an all-day affair where I had to get on my Sunday best dress and heels, regardless of the terrain and weather outside. Denver gets pretty snowy and icy in the winter. Going to church on Sunday morning was followed by attending the Sunday night service. I drove my 1974 candy apple red Ford Maverick this particular winter Sunday night. Now that I could drive, I chose to drive so I wouldn't have to greet and talk to every church member at the end of the service like my parents would, since they were very active in the church leadership. My intent was to shake hands with the pastor, his wife, and the deacons that would customarily be standing at the exit when the service was over, and that's how I was planning to only have to greet four or five people and then make my exit in my car. Unbeknownst to me, as I hurried in my high heels across the icy street of the church property, I found to my dismay that my car battery had been stolen, cables and all.
Ooh.
There you go. That's city life. My plan to zip home was crushed. Instead, with my head hung, I sauntered back into the church. To my chagrin, I walked back in the front doors to wait for my mom and dad to drive me home.
Oh.
This entailed me talking and greeting every single member of the church. A grueling hour of boring conversations passed by the time we were in my parents' car, since this was before smartphones and Candy Crush were a thing to pass the time with. Finally, we got to my parents' car, and my dad drove ever so slowly on the icy roads, never hitting the 30 mile per hour speed limit all the way back to the house. Hope this makes it on the show. I'm just kidding. I added that.
Michael's mom
who doesn't listen to the show. Yeah.
We've had some folks in the chat room ask what an afterglow is. So I guess we should explain that.
Yeah. It's I don't know if it's anything outside of the Pentecostal group, but churches.
We did it in the Baptist church too.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'll just speak from my perspective, and you can share it in the Baptist version. But at church, when you go to church, people go for the experience, and they're supposed to feel the movement of the Spirit and God's going to move today mightily, and it's going to feel good, and it's going to be good, and we're going to dance, and we're going to prance, and we're going to greet, and we're going to hear from the Word of God, and it's all going to be awesome. And then afterwards, whether it's at the church or whether you get together to go eat dinner or lunch or whatever, yeah, it's called an afterglow, where you kind of bring whatever that was at that church with you to experience it in a different context, you know. And they call it's a church word. There's no doubt. But it's
kind of like the fire's still going. It's just still glowing.
Yeah.
Just going to hang out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, for us, when I worked in the Baptist church, our afterglows were planned.
Oh.
And it usually was really didn't have anything to do with the church service. It was just a time after church for everybody to get together and have like ice cream or something like that. And we just hung out and socialized. That's pretty much what it was. And when we were doing youth stuff, it was always like some kind of youth party, a youth afterglow. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I've been educated. You've all been educated. Now you know what an afterglow is. And this one was the oh no afterglow. She did not want to stay.
She didn't want to stay for that afterglow.
No, she was trying to get out as soon as possible, just like my kids. They drive separately to church so that they can leave right after it's over, because mom and dad are going to talk to people and probably go to lunch with somebody. So,
well, Michael's mom must be a little bit of an introvert, because I can definitely see the beauty in that. Okay. Well, sorry, Michael's mom. I'm guessing that happened a long time ago, since she was driving a 74 candy apple red Ford Maverick.
Must have been.
With no batteries. Well, I got another story from Emmy here.
All right.
Remember the skirt scare?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The skirt
scare. I allowed it. Usually we don't do more than one story per person, but it was a theme show and she sent two good stories. So
sent two good church ones. So here we go. This is the stupid drywall. I'm going to call it the stupid drywall. So we were remodeling our church. There's this piece of sheetrock and random paint buckets lying around in closets in different places all the time. I guess they were always having to repair their walls. They must go to one of those kind of churches. Emmy says, I was a new convert and was very zealous about everything.
Yep.
We had a work day and I was on it, because that's what new convert zealous people do.
Yeah.
They're there anytime the doors are open. Yeah, and that's great. We thank you. Don't ever lose that zeal and fire.
Even though you will.
Maybe. Maybe.
Probably. Unless you're just Mike. Pastor Mike. Hallelujah to you.
Well, see, he was paid to be there and do that.
So. He was that way before, though. Okay. He was always that way. And from what I understand, when he was an alcoholic, he was that way, too. He was just over and above everything. Oh. Everything he ever did. So it was mostly personality. Are just wired. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's using that personality for the glory of God now.
So. Yeah.
Well, Emmy says, on the day that we had the work day, we were painting the sanctuary. Yes, because every now and then you got to do that. Our baptistry is situated behind the platform at the head of our sanctuary. It has a huge opening for watching the baptisms, and there are changing rooms on either end of it. We had all the doors open in there so that we could see from one end of the room to the other across the ends of the baptistry. I was painting in one changing room. The youth leader was in the baptistry on a ladder painting, and his wife was on the other end in the other changing room painting. I wasn't looking where I was going, and I kicked a hunk of sheetrock, and I shouted, "Ouch, stupid piece of sheetrock!" Paint rollers went askew, jaws dropped, eyes bugged out of their head. See, I was a fresh convert, and they done a lot, thought I lost my Holy Ghost, because all they heard was, "Ouch, stupid piece of sh." I looked over and I said, "What?" I said, "Stupid piece of sheetrock." And they all took a sigh of relief.
Oh.
We still have a good laugh about it, and that was just 11 years ago.
Oh, man. It's so funny to me, the accidental almost swearing stuff. Because I hear it all the time, you know, everywhere I go, if it's not the music coming from the car at the next gas pump, you know, it's people swearing at each other and cussing at me. If I, I've been cussed out a few times here in the city, and, it just bounces right off me, cause it has to, you know, it, otherwise you're going to die. You're going to cry. But, anyway, it's funny. It is funny when you think somebody has said something that they shouldn't say. Every now and then I'll have somebody email me and say, you said a bad word on episode 147 or something like that. And I'm like, what? Or there's a bad word in the theme song. I'm like, no, there's not. Right. It's always some middle schooler. You know, I was like, I've been playing that thing for years. And you're the first person to have found it. Yeah, right.
Our pastor used to say scared spitless. He hasn't said it in a while, so I'm wondering if maybe somebody said, hey, maybe you should stop saying scared spitless.
It's like our pastor. He was 70-something years old, and he would talk about the relationship between Paul and Peter.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember exactly what he would say about it, but he would summarize it with every Paul has a Peter. And we would all look at each other like every Paul has a what?
Okay. All right, all y'all middle schoolers down there on the front row, stop laughing.
It was every pastor on the side sitting on the stage too. Pastors. We were all looking at each other with our, you know, trying not to smile. So oh, goodness. Anyway, it's always okay. Good.
Redeem us.
Yes. And he would talk about the BET channel, Black Entertainment Television, and he would say that bet channel.
Bet channel.
He didn't know it was BET.
Bet. Oh, gotcha. I was like, well, maybe he's just pronouncing the acronym like everybody else.
Yeah, does. He was spelling it out. Anyway, this one's called Defective Display, and it's from Michael Mixeroni on Discord. For about 6 years, I've served on the audiovisual volunteer team at my old church.
Thank you.
Yes, again, thank you. Very important job. I climbed the ranks from camera operator to lead video director. This means I was in charge of compiling the real-time footage from my handful of camera operators, the worship band lyrics, pro presenter, and any other media that was deemed necessary for the service. My video feeds would go out into the massive projector screens in the auditorium, the live stream, and the screens all over around the building. So pretty darn important job.
Yeah, that's an important role.
As our setup in the building developed, someone determined it would be a good idea to put a GoPro in the tech booth, which was on the second floor of the building with a small window overlooking the stage. And this was important. So instead of hopping on the comms to see if someone was in the booth and getting no reply, people downstairs could just look at the screen and see who was available. Like most churches, our Christmas services were the biggest and most important of the year. Seats started filling 15 minutes before service, and my friend Cody and I headed up to the booth, which we called the Nerd's Nest, to get ready for the service.
Nice.
We talked through the plan for the service, and he reminded me that I needed to put a pre-edited countdown video live on the big screens before the service started. If you've never used a video switcher before, one row of buttons puts the cameras or source on standby, which means they're not live, and the other row cuts immediately to the source and puts it live on the screens. In a poor effort to put the countdown video live in front of an almost full audience before the service, I put the GoPro live footage of the tech booth live on every screen and projector in the building. I looked at my hand. I saw the red button under my finger. I looked up at the program output. I saw my dumbfounded face on it. I looked back.
What's going on?
I looked at Cody in his puzzlement. Then I scurried to change the output to the countdown video. And after a few seconds of processing the embarrassment that just happened, Cody and I just started laughing, especially when reconstructing what the throng saw as two random dudes in the Nerd's Nest popped up on the video screens, flailed around, then disappeared with no explanation. Cody and I were both glad this happened 8 minutes before the service rather than the middle of the busiest service of the year. For the rest of Cody and I's time at the church, I never lived that down. At any mistake I made, he was quick to remind me of the time I put the panic two of us live on air for anyone to see. Although it felt like our confused looks were on the screen for a lifetime, it was probably only about 5 seconds. Nevertheless, it was humbling. Michael from Mixed Runny from Discord. So, yeah.
The people in the Nerd's Nest get zero credit.
They do, unless something
and when
goes wrong.
Accidentally, yeah, they put their face up there on purpose. That's what they did.
Oh.
Well, for some reason, I was picturing Wayne and Garth up there.
What do we do, Wayne?
A little bit of a fisheye lens effect going on, you know, leaning into the camera, looking in. Why are we up on the screen? So
how did we get there?
Oh, man. Well, our next story actually takes place in the tech booth.
All right.
It comes to us from 13-year-old Emmeline.
All right.
This is Mute Mistakes. My story starts in my church's sound booth, where my brothers and I work. That fateful Sunday was one of our first times doing sound without any parental guidance.
Small church.
Small church, yeah. I was very anxious about getting everything right that day, as you would be. So there I was, my hands hovering over the mute buttons and such so that I would be ready for the next section. But one of my fingers slipped, and by foul chance, I muted the woman speaking. Not only did she point us out to the church explaining how we all make mistakes, but my grandpa, who just so happens to be the preacher, went up to the pulpit and pretended that his mic was not on. He was talking without making sounds for a while, and then he laughed and said, I'm just kidding, it's on. Which totally freaked us out since we thought we'd muted someone again. But everything was good. And then he proudly started his sermon on lemons. Hope this makes it on the show. I hope he did preach about lemons. That would be a great sermon.
Yeah, it would be. That'd be awesome. Yeah, as a children's pastor, I was always nice to sound people and the people that clean the church.
Oh yes,
custodial staff.
Crew. Yeah,
yeah. Because nobody worked harder for us, and nobody deserved more credit than those guys. I'll tell you what.
Right on.
Anyway, this one's called Amazing Gross. It's by Liam Seeley. So
I need to be prepared.
You're doing a church theme show, he says. I was excited to hear this because it brought back memories of some interesting things that had happened to me at church over the years. This story I'm about to tell you is my personal favorite. So this story takes place when I was 9 years old. My dad used to be a pastor, and sometimes he would let me take part in the service. Most of the time, it was reading a Bible verse, but this time he let me sing in the worship team. And I was very excited because I loved to sing worship songs. And after practicing the songs with the rest of the worship team on Sunday before my big day, I was ready. I woke up on Sunday with goosebumps. I could not contain my excitement. I was so happy that I was going to sing in front of the whole church. So once we got to church and everyone had sat down, I was more than ready to sing. We had just started to sing the first song when I felt a little rumbly in my tumbly. And the smile drained from my face. I went pale. And what happened next is something I don't normally talk about, but this is that story show. And getting a story read on the show is the highest honor you can receive in life. So if you haven't already guessed what happens, here it is. I threw up all over the stage right in the middle of the church.
Oh, no.
It got everywhere. On the microphones, the speakers, and unfortunately, on the people sitting in the splash zone on the front row. It was such a mess that church literally had to be postponed until that afternoon so the mess could be cleaned up and the horrible stench could be vanquished. It has been 7 years since that incident. And I'm still excommunicated. No.
Yeah, excommunicated.
And it's still talked about at our church. My dad has even used some of it in his sermons. This was just a little of the puke that we saved from that day. No, he didn't mean it that way. Thank you for reading my show, and I hope our story, and hope it gets on the show. Liam Seeley, P.S. The song we were singing was Amazing Grace. Therefore, the story title had to be Amazing Gross. So.
Amazing Grace.
It reminds me of my sister. One time we were in church. And we were singing this song called I've Got the Power in the Name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated.
No, no.
We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Except my sister had to burp, so it came out. We've got the power. And it was so freaking funny.
It was just a burp.
It was just a big old burp right in the power part. Power.
Which sister was that?
Amy.
Okay. I can see that happening. Leanne probably would have turned into a bat and flown away.
Yeah, she would have. Definitely. Definitely.
Amy probably just took a bow too, didn't she?
Oh, I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did. Man. I've thrown up in church though. I've told it on the show before, but I was just sitting there minding my own business, and we were in a church that met in a hotel. And so all the chairs were, you know, just sitting next to each other, no pews or anything. And I turned around to my sister and I said, I feel like I'm gonna throw up. And as I turned my head back around, I began to do just that. And luckily there was nobody sitting right next to me, but I started this crescent shaped puke as I turned my head back to face forward, and Arf the sprinkle. Chairs just spread like the freaking Red Sea, man. They parted and my puke was right there. And the pastor never skipped a beat, man. He just kept on going through the whole thing. And I ran to the bathroom and picked chicken out of my nose and, I don't know what happened to my puke. I wasn't responsible for it, but hopefully the Holiday Inn cleaned it up. So otherwise it's still there and it's been 40 years.
They charged extra if they did. What is it about churches meeting in hotels? We did that when I was growing up too.
Well, now the thing to do is theaters, you know,
theater, right? Yeah. Or a school.
Yeah. I went to a church.
I guess it makes sense. You don't have to own a building and, kind of get your start there until you can afford it.
Yeah, buildings are, if you think about it, a church building is the worst investment possible. And I've heard pastors say this. You use it, you know, at its full potential once or twice at most a week. And then the rest of the week, this big sanctuary that you have to heat and cool and maintain stays empty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you can save a few bucks meeting at a hotel, banquet hall or a
movie theater.
Movie theater or a strip mall or whatever it is, you know, you should do that. So anyway,
indeed.
Mine meets in an old theater. And, so anyway, works out good.
Pretty cool. The Melvin.
Yeah. The Melvin. Woohoo. Well, anyway, guys, that is our stories for today. Shirley, you've got a story. I bet you do. Whatever your story is, send your stories, email or audio, to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us in the show at review.nlcast.com. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more stories from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. Bye, John.
Bye, James.
See you later, dude.
Yeah. See you later, alligator.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.